The company is now rock solid, awash with cash, and having cleaned up, is up 230%. You look at the stock price much?
I don't actually.
Well, you look at the
EBIT
margin.
At the margin to make sure that it is a plan and we follow the plan. The results and the multiples will come.
But you've beaten all the peers in your period. So congratulations on that, Greta.
Thank you.
She is the CEO of a 5 billion NOK market cap Oslo-listed consulting engineering firm.
Her company has been around very long, since 1908. We IPO'd it in 2015 here at Arctic, and she now has 2,927 highly skilled employees as of 30th of June. There may be more coming. These employees are within multidisciplinary consulting, design, project engineering, verification, inspection, supervision, and architecture. A lot of words. Very skilled employees. More importantly, since she took over as CEO on the 1st of March 2019, this stock has gone almost to the moon. Up 230%, including dividends, outperforming every peer. She said that she had to ditch all the old strategy plans when her impressive turnaround started. So let's hear all about that. Welcome to the Arctic podcast studio, Greta Bergli from Multiconsult.
Thank you very much, Greta. It's a pleasure to be here.
Have you ever had such an introduction before?
No. I'm just wondering who's coming now. That's right.
Okay, well, let's start big picture. So you are the CEO of Multiconsult. So I checked on your homepage and you have a slogan which says, "We in Multiconsult aim to be the industry leader at meeting customer expectations." What's that mean?
Well, I think in our context, it's a signal that we should put our clients first.
That's good.
And of course, you will not find any company who doesn't say that. So it's really putting meaning to it. And I think going forward, getting an organization to understand that you need to ask the clients, what's the most important thing for you? And I think, or I do know, that we've had a tendency to try to tell the clients what they need, not ask them. To give this signal that we want to understand you, we want to work with you, and doing this, we also think we create value for you.
Let's talk a little bit more about your clients, because I was under the impression that it was more hydropower than there is. The homepage also says that you started out as Norsk Vannbygningskontor, so that's Norwegian water or hydro buildings, in 1908. But then in first half 2021, this year, only 12% comes from water and environment. So can you walk us a little bit through that history? Is it safe to assume that the hydropower consulting was a big part of the heritage?
Well, it's we have a strange story because Multiconsult really started off as an engineering consultancy within construction. And the part that is hydropower was purchased in the late, sort of around 2000.
And this is the part that started in 1908?
Yes, that's right. Okay. So we celebrated 50 years and then we celebrated 100 years, 20 years later. So this is how a story goes when you do M&A.
Exactly.
So building and construction is our main area. It's the biggest business area. And I think for the foreseeable future, it probably still will be.
Yeah, let's touch a little bit upon that. So in the first half, you recorded the revenues of 2.2 billion crowns and you had about 40%. So that's about 886 million crowns from building and properties. Now, I did look in your homepage to see a little bit more what is it that you actually do. And I have to say, there are a lot of words here. You are laughing, and I appreciate that because I must admit, we conduct consequent analysis, draw up development plans, undertake product development, engage in life cycle planning, become involved in sustainable development of individual body. What exactly is it? What do you get? You have to help me here. What do you do?
Well, what we actually do is that we can help a client from the stage where he has an idea for a construction till it's built and to follow it through the life cycle. But if you look at the big pictures, we design buildings, we design schools, we design hospitals, and we can, all these words means that we can do anything to do with engineering in all phases of that project.
There are some other words here. A national leader in respect of energy consumption and building physics and participates in zero emissions buildings.
Yes, and this is these are words, of course, that's come up as very popular lately. Anybody who's working in any industry now will take up the sustainability card. But we realize that that is what we've been doing for a long time. We help our clients create energy efficient buildings. We can tell you what's the footprint of your building. We have now been involved with, there's a building in Trondheim, which is a zero emission building. It means in the lifespan of that building, there will be zero CO2 emission.
Yeah, they have everything on the solar on the rooftops, and then there is reheating, and the water is used in the building. Exactly.
And that's correct. So it's...
And can I guess then, this is coming a little bit back to your slogan of meeting customer expectations. So of course you have a lot of clients who are expecting then to have, if not CO2 neutral or even CO2 negative buildings, but you're expecting to have a lot of focus on the green aspect of the construction.
Exactly. And what we are seeing now is that the finance of some projects depends on the fact that there is actually some kind of environmental friendly footprint in what they're doing. And we are seeing now in particular, probably in property, that they have high ambitions, and the ambitions are actually higher than the regulations. And that's the kind of clients that we really like to work for. We're pushing the borders beyond what the government have as a minimum
requirement.
Yeah. Yes.
And there is one thing that you have on your homepage, which I looked at, which is the new railway station in Ski. Officially opened, I think, now in 2021. You are laughing already.
I didn't expect what's coming now. It started a long time ago.
You have been working on this project since 2006. That is longer than Arctic Securities has been running. And we are a very old firm now. We started in 2007. Yeah. So, 15 years of planning. Is this a very proud moment for you when you're finally cutting the ribbon and opening the railway station? What happened there?
Well, it's a symbolic of how long governmental planning takes. But Ski station started as just an improvement of a railway station.
Oh.
And then they decided to have a whole new line, a double line.
Follobahn. And that was maybe decided in the 1980s, I think.
Yes, but it didn't start until probably 5 years into our work on it. And suddenly there's a whole... This is a totally different project, and you have to do it again.
Okay, and just between you and me and the billions of potential listeners, this is like a perfect client to have then. Someone who's changing the plans as you go along, and maybe they expand the scope of the work, and you're sitting there sending them a bill for every hour. Is this your perfect client?
How should I answer it? I think for the people working on it, it isn't necessarily, because it's frustrating.
Okay.
Because
it takes
I think
long.
The pride that we put in the work that we do, and it is more efficient for us if we can take a project from the start, finish it, and go. To go back and do, it's a very demanding and frustrating.
Yeah.
Also here, it was a stop for a long period. I think maybe first it was a stop for a year because the government didn't give the funding.
Oh, terrible.
And going up and down. It's extremely expensive for us.
Yeah, of course. And then maybe you have to take people off that project and onto another project. And then when when the client is asking, these guys are busy on another project. Yeah, okay. So it's not your perfect.
So going up and down is not. We don't like that.
So you prefer building that building which is CO2 negative, or how you phrase that. So you prefer building, you know, going from A to Z on that building. That's your perfect client.
That's right. And another aspect of this is, of course, like you just said, it took you 15 years or something, and you spent the budget probably tripled.
Yeah.
And it looks like we did a very poor job. But
yeah,
actually, I would claim that we are not always in control of the circumstances in which we are working.
So I was coming a little bit to that, because you are a consulting firm and you sell the hourly consulting services. And there shouldn't be much risk in that business model. That sort of big picture. But there has been one example, which is before your time as CEO, but I think you were in the company as an employee, which is this famous Parliament garage project. And I'm glad that you're laughing. So I can tell a little bit personal story there, because I was watching Nytt på Nytt, which is the Norwegian version of Have I Got News for You, with my wife on a Friday night. And this is, you know, I think a million Norwegians are watching, and I think very few of those actually heard of Multiconsult before. But then all of a sudden they have a section where they're making jokes about Multiconsult, which was in the context of bad planning, I think we can agree. And then can you elaborate a little bit on the inherent risk in the business model?
Yes, because our compensation is on an hourly rate, but of course there are contracts that tells you what we should deliver and at what time we should deliver it. And although we also experience, because we're in very early, the concept is not ready. You have to reuse and reuse and go back and see, is the concept correct? But we are finding more and more often that there is inherent risk. And one is that the client will claim, well, you didn't actually deliver what we expected you to deliver, or that the estimate of what the whole thing would cost has changed, and that we are somehow responsible for that, although we are not. No. But the clients, and we're seeing more and more, they expect us to also look after the whole picture. And I think in the future we will be. But the biggest danger in this business model is that the client can claim that we're inefficient.
Okay.
So if you're inefficient, they can say, well, you spend more time than we're willing to pay for. Mm-hmm. And that's something that we can't have insurances against. And it's a difficult one to defend sometimes.
I think I'm maybe understanding more of your corporate slogan now, meeting customer expectations.
Exactly.
So maybe is this a new slogan? Is this something you after the Parliament garage you put in?
No, I'm afraid it's been there for a long time. And the story, and everybody calls it a garage. It's actually a wonderful, beautiful building that the clients who are occupying it really like it. But I said before, we did a lot of mistakes in that project.
Then again, you are a success story. I already mentioned this in my Las Vegas intro. You took over as CEO. You were announced on the 13th of February 2019. You started out on the 1st of March. That's a very short honeymoon from announcement to action. And I looked at the numbers and they were impressive. So Multiconsult from the day you started is up 230%, including dividends. The Oslo Index, interestingly enough, obviously we've had a pandemic, so we've had a trip down and a trip up again, but the Oslo Index is only up 26% in the same time. So that's almost a 10x that you've beaten the index. Now, arguably, you came from a low point and all that, but you've also beaten peers such as, Sweco, Reilers, Bouvet here in Norway, OF Pøyre or Afri. They're up 100%, which is all nice. Bouvet 160. But you've beaten all the peers in your period. So congratulations on that, Greta.
Thank you.
Do you look at the stock price much?
I don't actually.
No, I was guessing that you were not. No. But you look at the margin.
At the margin, and of course, I understand that we have to create value. And I think that's the message I use to the whole organization is, okay, we cannot continue to deliver a 3% margin because we can't develop. We cannot develop the people who work there. We cannot develop our business. But also I knew, because I've been with the company for a long time, that there was nothing wrong in the foundation. There was nothing structural that was different with us than from all our peers. And I just started telling the story. There is nothing here that should explain that we can't be the best. And we are one of the largest in Norway, and we should be up. We should play in the first division or the Premier League, or that's where we as a company want to be. We've been there. And then we just sort of started that journey.
The margin development has been extraordinary. I've looked at the numbers, and Multiconsult used to be, before the IPO, which was in 2015, you had a margin that crept up from, you know, 7% in 11-12, and then you actually were just shy, just north of 10% before the IPO in 2014, then the margin went down. So the margin in the year of the IPO was again 7%, and then, like you said, down to 3% margin in 2018 and 19, and then Get took over and boom, you're straight up to 10% in 2020. Mm-hmm. And our analyst is expecting 10% also going forward. So that's a remarkable. How did you do that? Was it easy?
Well, I've been asked that question, and I can't say that it was very difficult. But I think it's the way I work is I take one thing at a time, and I had the advantage. I knew the organization. I knew the strength. And I also knew, because this is a lot about communication and getting people to start working with you. And if you ask me, I think one of the main criteria for our success is that even though I knew the company, I spent some time getting somebody inside the company to give me a picture of where are we now? What's the situation with regards to some of the very important things. Do people understand the strategy? Do we have an organization that's working? How are we spending our money? And what are our key performance figures compared to our peers? And when you start, these are architects and engineers. They understand numbers. And when you start explaining them the story, and we agreed on this is what the situation is like. And up until I had a meeting with all my sort of top 50 managers yesterday, and I'm saying, okay, now we completed and we fixed all the four areas that we'd identified as the main issues. We need to now say, okay, what's our platform now for the next 5 years?
But it's interesting that you mentioned strategy, because I did read an interview with you where you say that you threw away all the strategy.
this is sort of newspaper language. I didn't throw them. Okay. But what I did was, because of course there had been challenges for a number of years, and each time any leader will start making a sort of a roadmap on how to fix it. But if there are too many areas that you want to fix and you can't measure it, you don't get the results. So what I did was to say, okay, we need to sort of focus on core business. We need to focus on the sales and how we execute our projects. It's that simple. And that's what we started doing. And then we had good analysis. We gave all the managers on what's our level three an insight into how they were doing on some of the more important KPIs, and what we think they should be.
One interesting question that came up, because I read with great interest that you say you did not hire any consultants. And on the one hand, I completely get that, because you're a consultant firm. And like you say, you have a lot of very skilled engineers internally. On the other hand, I would guess that maybe if you give advice to a number of companies where you would advise them to hire consultants.
I know, and that's a difficult one. But I know we are named as consultant engineers. But remember, we go in in projects delivering solutions. We go in the large projects. There's maybe 300, 400 people working on it. It's not sort of four or five that you hire. My philosophy on consultants is that you should really only use consultants if you don't have the capacity within your own organization, simply because you're busy or there are some skills that you don't have.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons when we looked at how we sort of got this downfall in EBIT was that there was too many people who didn't think that they were multi-consult.
Uh-huh.
And I've also seen this in other organizations, that you become very dependent on these consultants that you take in for hire. For somehow they seem to have the answers of everything. And you start leaning on them instead of using your own organization.
I see.
Using the skills, and not least build the skills. Because if you build it in the people who are with you, they stay and develop.
We are touching upon another stakeholder, which is the shareholders. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to then read a quote from a guy called Wolfman, Åsulf Tveitereid. He's famous for many listeners of the Arctic podcast because he was a legendary former oil services analyst that's now turned into an investor in anything but oil services, I think. And according to publicly available information, he owns 800,000 shares worth 150 million crowns. He says that Multiconsult is the biggest turnaround he has seen on the Oslo Stock Exchange for the last 30 years. Grete Bergly and the CFO has been wonder medicine for the company. And then he says the company is now rock solid, awash with cash, and having cleaned up, trimmed for growth, and ready for M&A. Yeah, but you know, it's a compliment. But how do you see that you have... Can you elaborate a little bit on the sort of daily or quarterly communication with the shareholders that you have many, I guess, active shareholders?
Yes, we have very good shareholders. And in the late, we've seen also, of course, that we got more more interest in from external investors. And I must say that Hans Jørgen, as our CFO, he's been a fantastic asset to us. He came in just after I started. He has a lot of more experience, I think, than we previously had on also handling the external market.
Investor relations.
Yes. But also an ability to talk to our organization in a language that they understand, because that's something not all CFOs have.
Yeah, you need to have the same message across external and internal.
Yes. And what we have agreed upon, and which I had talked and discussed with him, is that it's very important that you, in your external communication, tell people what you have done. You need to give an indication of direction, but you shouldn't talk so much about what you're going to do, because it might hit back on you. And you need to make sure that it is a plan and we follow the plan. And I must say, when we launched this 150 million kroners improvement program, we were a bit nervous.
But you exceeded
it. Was
that
ambitious.
But you exceeded that.
Yes. And again, I think that's the ability and the skills that's within my management team as well. We follow up, because everybody can make a plan. Making a plan is quite easy. But to make a plan that you anchored and that people are willing to follow and that you show them that you follow up, I think that's where a lot of our leaders fail.
One more question on your shareholders, because your biggest shareholder is a foundation. It's called the Multiconsult Foundation. And I had the question from an international potential shareholder asking, you know, if this is a limitation for you. For example, can you be part of cross-border M&A, for example, or is there like a clause saying that you have to be in Norway or that you have to be dominant or biggest owner? Or?
So yes, there is no clause like that. I think for us as a company, the foundation in some ways also when we got listed was a security. Mm. In the sense of stability, that we couldn't be bought up by anybody. Mm. And the foundation's goal, in a way, is 100 more years. So it's a long term. And to have a long term view in a major investor is important. They are there for the best of also our employees. But on the other hand, they develop as well. They see that the world is changing and they are extremely concerned to have the dialogue with us, to understand where can we together take the company.
And then will you quick segue over to your board, because you have a very active board. I noticed with great interest the public announcement that your chairman, Bård Mikkelsen, bought 3,000 shares at 180 on the 18th of August. He owns 18,000 shares, 3.3 million crowns worth. And then I want to ask you, because you have a board member called Sverre Hurum. He also bought 15,000 shares on the 18th of August, so that's 3 million crowns worth. But he owns 3.5% or 206 million crowns worth of Bouvet, where he was, of course, the instrumental CEO and, I don't know, founder, but he was running the company for 17 years. So is that a little bit like having a competitor on the board? Or
No, we're in totally different segments. But of course, he also understands a business which is prime, where your prime asset is the people.
It's a consulting, but he's more of an IT
consultant.
But
I think Sverre as well, we haven't talked so much about culture, but culture in the company. And I think Sverre is a prime example of, if you take care of your people, the people take care of your business. He's been extremely skilled at building that culture, and he's grown the company tremendously. So it's very large respect for what he has actually managed to do with Bobet.
And then also on culture, then we have the aspect of recruiting, because you have highlighted in your recent quarterly report that you had 991 applicants for 70 positions as summer interns. And you have highlighted that you were ranked number one among consulting engineers in this employer attractiveness ranking. But I looked a little bit into this employer attractiveness ranking, and sadly, Arctic is not on top of. We're not big enough, I think, to be top of the list. But there are some strange companies. I mean, is this updated? Do students really want to work for Equinor oil and gas? Is this because if you look at, there is at least on the public, I'm sure you have more details than me, Jette, which you'll come to, but on the homepage of this Universum, then they've specified under engineering and natural sciences students, and they've said so number one Equinor, number two Kongsberg, so number one is oil and gas, number two is weapons. And number three is multi-consult.
That's right. It's interesting, isn't it?
It's very strange.
Yes. I can comment that Aker used to be high on the list. So somehow people associate them more with oil than they do with Equinor. I think in some ways it's the story that Equinor has managed to tell on the renewable. But
they're an integrated energy company.
Exactly. But of course, size matters. And that's why we are very proud.
You're by far the smallest company. Smallest. You're punching above your weight in terms of must be a lot more people hired in the bigger companies, obviously.
Yes.
So,
and this is a result of very systematic work. When I started in 2002, came to the summer 2003, and I asked them, how many summer students do we have? And the people in Oslo then looked at me and said, no, we don't have students in the summer, Greta, we don't work.
No, we don't do that. Exactly. We're on holiday or something. Yeah. Exactly.
And then I said, of course, we should do that. And then we started quite systematically. And we've been the best regarded as the most attractive employer now for 9 years in a run.
Within science engineers.
Yeah,
okay. Oh, that's well done. I think it is. I think it's very important. I wish Arctic would climb a little bit more on those lists as well.
I'll give you some hints if you want.
Then we are rounding off. You did an acquisition, which was announced on the 8th of July, which is fairly big, actually, because, like I said, you have a market cap around 5 billion, but you bought a company for 410 million, Ericsson. And Horgen, it looks like a pretty good company. It looks like they've had revenue CAGR, so compounded annual growth of 18%, and an average EBITDA margin, which we have learned is very important. They've had 10%, which is also your level. So I guess a couple of questions, but the main question is, of course, can you find more of these?
Well, there are not a lot left in Norway. You've seen the consolidation of the consultant market has been it's almost finished. There are maybe three or four in Norway. There are, of course, some outside Norway, and Scandinavia is still where we're thinking that we would be looking.
But when you're buying this one, are you then competing, you think, with Reilers and...
Yes. I think Ericsson and Horgen, and you need to maybe be a bit of a nerd to know.
I had not heard about them.
Business, but they are the best. There's no doubt. They are preferred. They're definitely a number one company. We know that, and people have been trying to buy them for years. So we are so pleased and very proud that in the end we were the chosen one. And I think it goes back. We have worked with Ericsson and Horgen going back now maybe 15 years on all the larger hospital projects that we're on. Ericsson and Horgen is part of it. And also some of the more very complex buildings like the library here in Oslo, the Munch Museum, the new education institution for the veterinary school. So we have a long history of working together, and they confirmed that, yes, we were the company that it had been the easiest to work with, actually.
Oh, it's interesting because you gave some public numbers that you paid 1.24 times EV sales and about 13 times enterprise value to EBIT on their 2020 numbers, which is not that far off from where you're trading yourself, which, well, yeah, so you're a little bit higher than 1.3 and 13.5 times EBIT maybe. But then the interesting thing is that if you look on publicly available data from, for example, Bloomberg, you see that your Swedish peers like Afri, Reilers, OF-Gruppen, Sweco, Afri, Reilers, they're trading at higher multiples.
Much higher multiples.
So all else equal, they could have paid more.
Yes, that's right. They could have, without sort of reducing the share, exactly, as the watering in. But that's correct. And I think that's one of the areas that we're working quite hard on. But we know that this will, the results and the multiples will come if we deliver the results over it. Now, we've had six good quarters now. If we stabilize on this, so the potential also in our share, I think, will go up.
Multiconsult CEO Grete Bergly, it's been impressive to see your turnaround of the company. It's been delightful to have you here in the Arctic Podcast Studio. And we, of course, wish you all the best of future success. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This podcast has been prepared by Arctic for information purposes only. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered professional advice. The information provided in this podcast is not intended to constitute investment advice, nor is the information intended as an offer or solicitation for the purchase or sale of any financial instrument. Relevant and specific professional advice should always be obtained before making any investment or credit decision. It is important to note that past performance is not indicative of future results. This podcast does not fulfill the criteria for preparing investment research and must be seen as marketing material. All information submitted during this podcast is obtained from public sources that Arctic believes to be reliable, but which Arctic has not independently verified. Arctic makes no guarantee, representation, or warranty as to its accuracy or completeness. No liability whatsoever is accepted for any direct or indirect, including consequential, loss or expense arising from the use of information from this podcast.